Howdy do.
And welcome to another episode of the Sporting Goods Podcast. I'm your boy Wig.
And it's your boy Trav. How's everybody going on this Taco Tuesday?
It is Tuesday, huh? Time flying. How you felt about that money coming in last night?
Oh, I felt so amazing. I kind of bet it big. I felt it in my bones. I felt like my hands were itching, my feet was itching, my muscles were popping, my jump shot was wet in the gym yesterday. It was too many positives happening. So I felt really good about the picks yesterday.
I don't know about your feet itching, man. You might have to take an extra shower, man. But I hear you on all that. I hear you on all that, bro. Yeah. I kept with my same amount of me on each pick because the podcast have been slipping for the past what 2 or 3 days. But yesterday was a great day. I should have upped my ante as well. But yeah, man, it was blessings, man. Really had me smiling.
Yeah. Speaking of smiling, how do you feel about comedian turned musician Lil Duval in Smile Bitch? What type of vibe is it giving you? What type of song? You know, I know he has a couple of songs out, later songs out, but like, how do you feel? What vibe is Smile Bitch giving you? Is it the Andre 3000, Hey Y'all vibe? Or, you know,
that's hell no. The vibe I was getting. I mean, don't get me wrong, man. I've been a fan of Duval since I was in elementary school, watching him on Common View, and he used to remix Music Soul Child songs. So, you know, I'm very familiar with Duval, and I'm proud of his success, his newfound success in the music industry. But please do not start comparing this man to no damn Andre 3000. Andre 3000 is a lyrical, musical genius. He's not no trending artist that I would call Duval.
Well, I get that. You know, I wasn't giving Duval the lyrical genius aspect of it all, but like the vibe of the song is what I meant. Like, to me, when I hear Smile Bitch and I'm in the club or I'm
at, you know, it's crazy, dog. Hold on, I don't mean to cut you off, but you know what's crazy?
What?
I hear you keep saying Smile Bitch, but the whole time I thought the name of the song was Living My Best Life. I was like, what do you mean talking about Smile Bitch? Bitch, you smile.
No, the song is actually named Smile Bitch.
Oh, all right.
But yeah. That what I was saying, the song gives me that, you know, I'm happy, I need to dance, I need to enjoy life, because, you know, that's the best part of life, is enjoying it instead of wallowing in your sorrow.
But, I mean, why would that remind you of Andre 3000? I mean, Andre 3000, yeah, he enjoys life, but he enjoys it in a philosophical way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. But I was actually comparing it to Hey Y'all because of the fact that when I, and I'm not only going off the aspect of the video of Hey Y'all or whatnot, I was going off of the aspect of the dance, the enjoyment of the song, the enjoyment of the music. Like
Let me tell you how genius. I hear where you come from. Let me tell you how genius Hey Y'all was. See how it made you feel very, very happy, and the enjoyment of the dance and the band and people jumping on stage with the performers. You know, the lyrics of that song is basically the setup for the video, where he's basically telling people, you know, especially women goes into situations looking and praying on love. And the guy could say anything to a woman. He could be like, you know, I'm really here to kill you. But if the woman finds him very, very attractive or just somebody who's lovable, she's not hearing that. She's just hearing, oh, this man has the potential to love me the way I want to be loved. And he's telling her, hey, I don't want to meet your mama. I just want to make you come. I don't want to meet your daddy. I just want you in my caddy. But you don't want to hear me anyway. You just want to dance. So let's keep the music going. Mm-hmm. And hey, and Smile Bitch, that's the name of the song. Smile Bitch is basically just saying, smile, bitch, I'm living my best life. There's no connection in between.
Yeah, that's kind of true. Because when I actually did the research on the lyrics, basically Smile Bitch is saying, I'm not going to argue with any of you people.
Uh-huh.
I'm living my best life.
Yeah. So that's straightforward. That's a damn line.
it's pretty much. He's telling us, forget all of y'all. I'm going to dance, smoke, and have fun. And Hey Y'all does give you the...
It gives you an illusion that this is a very, very happy song. And everything is all right. But then the actual lyrics to the song is undercutting the happiness of the woman that they believe happiness is like love is the key, and he's like love is like deception, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
love is not really that true all the time unless you actually found love. Like you can't just go out there looking and hoping, oh, this person is the person that's gonna love me. Like love will hit you like a freaking stone, and you know, I mean, I just can't compare the two, but I do like the proper term "smile bitch" song. I do like that.
Well, yeah, you're right. I give you that one. Oh, well, enough about
smiling bitch
music. Yeah, you know, we kind of went a little bit off topic here, but anyways, what we're gonna really talk about today, folks, is what happened to the NBA after Game 6 of the Finals. It was turned on his belly. The two major injuries in KD and Klay Thompson basically let us know the West is now wide open.
Right.
The West is now the Lake Show.
I mean, it does go. It goes through the Lakers to me. It goes through LA.
It's the Lake Show for you. But to me, no, it's actually wide open because I don't really believe in the Houston drama. I won't say I don't believe in it, but I don't believe it will deter them enough to not realize, all right, no matter if we don't get along, we're here to win a championship. We got close almost 2 years ago. So they're hurt. What's stopping us from getting back?
I mean, what's stopping y'all from getting back is that that LeBron have a... I ain't gonna call him a sidekick. LeBron have a Batman to his Superman. LeBron have a Captain America to his Iron Man. You know, that's what's gonna stop Houston. Houston was fit to beat Golden State as long as Kevin Durant plays just above average and not great. Because Houston was not built to beat great specimens when it comes to talent. Because I don't believe in James Harden. I never did. James Harden is all stats and all show to me. And
Check the analytics, please.
Yeah, he's all freaking formula. Like if I was in my math class, then yeah, James Harden is the best player that possibly ever played this game, him and Steph Curry. But when you actually on that court and you got to coach these players, and you got to play alongside with them, James Harden is not analytics cuts off the moment that, you know, things get real serious. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't care. Like, I don't care if a dude tell you, if you jab 100 times, you're going to win this fight. At the end of that fight, if dude get pissed off and you say something bad about his mama, your jabs ain't going to matter no more. Because now he got a new sense of motivation. And I don't see James Harden as that dude going to take it to the promised land. If your team goes through James Harden to get a ring, then you might as well just go to the pawn shop and get you a fake gold ring or whatever. Because you ain't going to get one from the NBA Finals.
All right. And so what about the Utah Jazz? They newly acquired Mike Conley, and
that was a dope move. But unfortunately, if this move was to happen, I'll say 2 years ago, not even 2 years ago, just Mike Conley. He's a great talent who most likely is not going to finish the season. That's one. Two, they need to get rid of trade Favors off while he's trending up, so you can get you a good package to go along with to building you a full roster like the Rockets did.
Well, I actually like Favors.
I like him too.
No, I like him more with Conley than with Rubio because now their pick and roll offense quadrupled. It's way better.
Yeah, but you got Favors and Gobert. I said his name, right?
Gobert. Yeah,
Gobert. Yeah. You have them on the floor together too long, too much. And this is not the 90s, bro. You don't need a true power forward with the true center playing at the same time. That's not going to get you past, you know, elite teams. That's going to get you past teams who want to be good, but they're not there yet. you could beat them, like the Denvers. You could beat the Portland Trail Blazers with them. You could beat, you know, OKC on a bad series. You know, you could beat those teams. But when it comes to, like, Golden State, when it comes to Houston, when it comes to the new Lakers, you know, when it comes to 76ers, when it comes to Milwaukee Bucks, you're not going to beat those teams with that style. And, maybe 76ers, because they're so much of a drive and a two-point team, you could probably beat them with that style. But with all these three-pointers and post players taking people off the dribble, you're not going to be able to just stack the protect the rim and hopefully your defense be that great that it can protect the rim and win. No, you got to protect the whole floor now.
Well, all right, so give me the top four in the West. Pre-roster changes.
Yeah, I hear you. Pre-free agency.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm going number one, L.A. Lakers. Number two, Houston Rockets. Number three, Golden State Warriors. Because, shit, Steph's still a bad man. Draymond's still a bad man. Clay would be all right by the end of the season. When they make the playoffs, he should be by 80% there. And you know, if KD is not on the roster, you have a lot more money to, you know, add on pieces. And you just need a couple of more pieces to make that team, you know, just a tad bit better. But with Steph and Draymond, they're still way better than Utah to me. And, you know, at number four, this is more of a pre – I can't even give a number four. So I would just have to say basically number four is OKC.
Ooh. All right, so let me do mine. Mine
– go ahead.
Mine's going to shock you a little. All right, so I'm going to go with number one.
L.A. Lakers. Portland. For you.
Yeah, who? Portland.
Portland.
The team
that just got swept.
Yeah, yeah.
The team who beat Denver Nuggets to get to the Western Conference Finals.
Yes, yes. That same squad.
Okay.
You don't realize what just happened in this draft, but I did. And as well, they lost their started center that would have been in contest for Defensive Player of the Year. And I see Dame going up. There's no other way for him. He's going up. Number two, Denver. You alluded Denver when they was the best team in the West.
Yeah, they were good to bet on. I mean, when teams like Denver, when they're trying to prove a point by being the best team in the Western Conference, they're trying to win every single regular season game. Like, even games that they should just be resting for the rest of the minutes, they still have their starters on trying to win. Teams like that is great to bet with. And that's why I loved Denver so much last year. But I never thought they had a chance to beat and go to state and represent in the West. I didn't even think they were going to get past the first round. They surprised me with that. And I had Portland to win the second round. I bet it on every Portland game.
Okay. And number three, I'll give you the Lakers. The Lakers, even with this roster that they have right now, yeah, it's still LeBron James.
It's still blasphemous that you've been giving him number three. And it's
still Anthony Davis.
Behind Denver. Go ahead.
They're number three till they figure the roster out. They're number three till they figure the roster out to me. And number four, I want to say Houston and Golden State is tied. I want to because of the controversy and because of the injury. So I'm going to say those guys are tied, and I'll put OKC honorable mention number five.
All right, so that means we both agree from the original question that the Jazz, they didn't get that much better.
Yeah, they're on the level of OKC right now to me. They're on the level of OKC. I don't see them beating Portland in a seven. I see them competing with Denver in a seven, but I don't see them coming on top of it.
All right. And to bust the bubble on your number one, I see Dame trending down after this season.
Why so?
This might be his last good year or great year. I give it an above average year, but I see him trending down. I think he's in the way of CJ's McCullough potential. And I see him in the way of the whole team's potential. He's trying to play like Steph Curry 4 or 5 years ago, when Steph Curry don't even play that way anymore, because he realized that's not going to win you a championship. Every time Steph got into the playoffs, deep into the playoffs and in the championship, that whole shooting by the half court line and shooting those deep threes diminished. He wasn't even getting them off. There's a difference when you're playing in the regular season and everybody's game planning for 4 games ahead, and then there's a difference when you're playing in the playoffs and a dude is game planning for you for at least 4 games every single day of the week. You are the focal point. That style of play is not good for the NBA. Not good for the NBA, but not good for the playoffs. And it's definitely not good for championships. The three-point shooter that's great for championships is Klay-type three-point shooter. When you going off screens.
Off screens. And
yes.
You know, pick and roll. Yeah.
That's the Rip Hamilton way. That's the Reggie Miller way. If you don't know the pass, you are doomed to repeat it. And if you don't know what's going to make another team great, you are doomed to fail by diminishing it. And everybody thought that Steph was so great because of the way he handled his regular season those first 2 years of the dynasty chase. And it wasn't because of that. It's mainly because how he ran off screens.
Okay.
And Dame haven't figured that out yet. Dame is still ball hungry, and just a jacket. He's a hero player, and that's not gonna win. I don't like Portland at one. I love that team, and I love their tenacity. But Portland being a favorite to win the championship, that's blasphemous.
All right, so yes, we'll give Toronto a little shine right now. They're the new NBA champions. Congratulations to those guys there in Toronto. Congratulations to Drake.
It's funny how we mentioned Drake and a rapper. I mean, Drake as the rapper when it comes to Toronto Raptors.
Exactly. I don't.
He's a damn ball player.
It's required, I guess, to mention this guy.
True.
Because
that's true.
He was a big factor. Right.
Yeah, he was. He had a huge impact on. Dog, you know what's funny? And I hate to jump off topic, but I love the way the NBA is trending and moving along with the times of just the youth. Like NFL, they're trying to evolve, but they're so like old school.
Yeah,
and the NBA. Like, just think about this, bro. Just think about this. People barely watch. Not barely watch. The ratings for the NBA dropped this year. And, of course, not the NBA, but the NBA Finals. And, of course, the reason why the ratings dropped because LeBron wasn't in it. We can just agree on that. But the reason why LeBron boosts so much ratings because the NBA adapted the reality series. The reality show. Dog, think. The most exciting thing about the NBA right now is the free agency.
Yeah, yeah. And now look, you got to look at it this way. When I saw Drake on the sideline, you know who I compared him to? Spike Lee. He was Toronto's Spike Lee.
Yes.
Like, he was in every
the
player's
old
ear.
Spike Lee in the 90s.
Yeah, the 90s. That's in your ear. Talking to Scottie Pippen like you, whatever he said, I ain't gonna say imaginary words.
You know he ain't say
words of kindness. you know that. So yeah, I kind of compared him to Spike Lee of the 90s, and it was good for basketball. It was great
thinking about what Spike Lee would have been. He would have been a bigger director if they had Twitter, if they had Facebook, if they had Instagram, if they had social media. Spike Lee would be one of the huge directors of the 90s and the 2000s. However, during that time, when it got close to the 2000s, he started getting blackballed in Hollywood for his messages and stuff, which is BS. Yeah. But he would have been that person. And New York would have been even popular. The Knicks would have been even more popular because of that. And that's what Toronto did with Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
Oh, not Toronto, but Drake did with the Raptors. Allowing them to be the social media team of 2019.
Yeah, so I'm going to stick with the Raptors a little bit. Kawhi Leonard. We're going to go into the free agency. You did say it's the biggest thing in the NBA right now. And I got a few names for you. And we're going to play a game. This game is basically a prediction card. So I'm going to give you the names, the big names of people in the free agency. And you tell me where you think they're going to go.
All right.
All right. So I'm going to start with you. And we're just going to go, we're going to go back and forth. You're going to give me a destination when I give you a name, and then I'm going to give you my destination. All right?
All right.
So the first name, of course, we're going to start with a champion, Kawhi Leonard.
I think he stays.
And we're going to do a contract base. What is his contract? The numbers don't matter. The amount of years does.
I see him doing a 2 and a player's option or a 1 and 1.
Okay. No, pick one.
2 and a player's option.
Okay. All right. I say he wants to break history. He wants to do something so historic that has never been done. And that historic move is him going to the Clippers and winning the championship there. West is too wide open for him. And nobody in the East can stop him. So, why not?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all.
And the contract, for the fact that he's been nudged on money his whole career, yeah, he's going to take that 4-year max deal.
Doubt it.
He's going home. You got to remember that.
Doubt it.
All right. So next player, we're going to do KD.
All right. KD stays.
On what type of contract?
Supermax.
Whoa. Hey, Ikes. Okay. Me, I believe he goes wherever Kyrie goes. They've been meeting too many times during this offseason for them not to team up, for me at least. So I'm going to say he's going to the Brooklyn Nets. And
yeah.
I'm going to say he's going to do a contract of 2 and a player option. And the next,
I doubt that, sir. I doubt if anybody was to get KD, that they're not gonna try to get at least 4 years in the player's option because of that Achilles injury, and they don't want to pay a max contract to a dude who's not gonna be playing for 1 year. That's one, and then his second year, they're not even sure he's gonna be fully healthy. They gotta get whoever gets KD. They got to figure out
Do I need to play a sign? Do I need to play a sound bite for you? Or do I just need to say it? Y'all know who I am, right? I'm Kevin Durant.
Say it.
I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know that, right? You know who that is? I'm Kevin Durant. If I was the Orlando Magic and KD
said, you'll take him for 2 years.
And KD told me, all right, I'm willing to come here, but my contract has to be based around 3 years, 4 years at the max. So I would like a player option in the KD. Yes, you can give me 2 and a player option, and I will be satisfied.
Any team that agrees on that is just trying to get season ticket sales. That's the only reason they'll be able to do that.
And that's what matters right now in the NBA. So
you think so? All right. Okay.
All right.
Ahead.
So, number just 3.
This one more. This game's stupid.
Let's make it quicker. Then I want to do the whole. We don't have to do the years with the rest of the players because those were maybe. Well, let's do this one last player with the years, and then everybody else we can just say where they're going. All right. So Klay Thompson. Where is his destination for you?
I see Klay at L.A. Lakers.
Ooh,
on a 3-year.
That was unexpected. Yeah. I see Clay staying. I see Clay doing his Supermax or his Max, because he can't get a Supermax, for the 5 years and go to state. All right, so now we can
go ahead.
We can do just the destination for these regular. Well, I'm not going to call them regular. That's disrespectful for these NBA stars. All right, so Kyrie, where you see him going?
To the best institution.
He needs to, but that's not an NBA squad.
That man depressed, dog. He is depressed as hell. I honestly don't know where he's going.
So you got a question mark for him?
Because he reminds me of myself without money. Because it's like he have everything to be happy about, but he's finding everything to be pissed off about. And he looks at the world a lot different from most superstars, from almost every superstar I can think of that's not named Dennis Rodman. He looks at the world that different. So where he would go, and he have an option to go anywhere he want to, I have no idea. I know everybody's saying Brooklyn Nets or New York Knicks, but I don't believe that for that to be true. Because everybody else is saying it, I don't believe for that to be true.
Yeah. All right, so me. All right, so I have a either or for him. If he's able to convince KD, he's going in Brooklyn. But Brooklyn doesn't want him if he can't convince KD. So that would give him the option of New York or staying in Boston.
He's not staying in Boston. He hates Boston. I don't see New York working out good for him, because him and RJ is going to bump heads heavily. Him and Terry couldn't get along. Him and what's your light skin dude? Tatum couldn't get along. I don't see him getting along with RJ.
Okay. All right. So Jimmy Buckets. Where do you see him going?
I would love to see him in the Lakers uniform. I would love that. However, I see something very, 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 very different from him. I kind of think Utah Jazz.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. That would be different. I actually see him in a... Sorry to say, I actually see him in a New York Knicks uniform. You got to remember, Jimmy Butler wants to be the man. Even though he's probably not the man, he wants to be the man. And there's not a lot of the places where he can... Well, I'm not going to say there's not a lot of places he can go and become the man. There are several places, but that
would all right, be... But what gives you the indication he wants to be the man?
Look what he did to Minnesota. He clearly is not the best player on that roster. As much as everyone would like
not?
To, exactly no. As much as everyone would like to believe he's the best player, he was the best player in Minnesota. Cat was the best player in Minnesota.
Cat has the most potential in Minnesota. However, his whole problem with Minnesota is the fact that he's playing with two talented ass players who don't want it as hard. And that was his whole
And that's issue. What I'm saying.
That doesn't mean he want to be the man. That means he want to fucking win. And if you're not giving it your all, you're not practicing hard, you're not in the gym, sleeping in the gym, having sex in the gym, eating in the gym, then you don't want it. And that was his whole damn problem. He never said, I want to be the man. Y'all make sure y'all go through me. Go through me, because motherfuckers, I want to win. These niggas just want stats. God damn it, I want to win.
All right, so now we have Chris Middleton.
I think take the bait and go to one of those teams and say, like, I could lead them. So I think Clippers don't get no one but Chris Middleton, or he might go to a squad like New Orleans or some shit like that.
I see him staying in Milwaukee. He was satisfied with his number.
He said he didn't want to be there no more.
When he said that, I missed that. When did he say that?
when he opted out. He said, I don't think I want to be in Milwaukee no more, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, if that's the case, I will change that, my answer, to New York. I'll see him in New York.
If, yeah, that's another bait he'll take.
If New York don't get KD and Kyrie, he's going to New York. All right, so another player, a first-time All-Star, one of the best big men in the league. He was nubbed on, the NBA second team, Nikola Vukovic, I'm sorry, for the Orlando Magic.
They're claiming that he's gonna that the Lakers want him. I don't even think, honestly. I mean, I know that's your boy. Wherever he goes, it don't fucking matter. He's not that good of a player, man.
Nah, you gotta send him a
text. It don't matter wherever he goes.
You gotta send him somewhere.
Whatever team gives him a max contract is gonna be the Cleveland Cavaliers giving Kevin Love the max contract. They're not that good of a player. They were just good on sorry teams.
All right, so actually, even that is my team. I see them passing on the contract that big. They're going to offer him a 3-year, 4-year deal for 80, probably 75, 80, something, bearable. And he's going to get one of those big contracts from either Sacramento or, one of those squads that need a big man. So, yeah, he's going to kind of walk off on the Magic with that small deal. So, yeah.
Hey, I'm glad you brought up Sacramento, because I think they get like the shit end of every free agency for the past like 20 years. Like, no one. The only big name that went there on their own through free agency was Ron Artest.
Yeah.
And he was like already done. His wheels was
gone.
It was already done. But like they have a squad. They have potential, dog, to really do something this year. I mean, on this upcoming year. But I don't think they're going to get the help that they truly deserve. Like, they should have been sorry one more year. Just been sorry one more year and got them a nice little draft pick,
mm-hmm.
and then try to do something. But well, they got I don't like.
They got a steal in the draft this year.
Who was that?
Come on, don't make me look him up.
Who was that?
Don't make me look him up. He's a steal, though.
You're going to have to if you don't know the nigga name. Because I don't know who they got.
Hold on, give me a second. I'm pulling them up right now. In the meantime, while I'm pulling them up, I'm going to give you another name. Tobias Harris.
Another one of those players that don't freaking matter. Whoever gets on the max contract, lost. He's not that good of a player. He's a nice addition to a good team. If you give him the max contract, you just lost a lot of salary cap that you could give two or three other players that could give you the same thing that Tobias Harris could give you. That's my opinion on Tobias Harris.
I see him actually going. Oh, they traded their pick off, but they got a guy in the 40th pick. And he's a nice kid out of Wyoming. I don't know if you ever watched him, Justin James, the point guard or 6'7" guard. Anyway,
I ain't paying no attention to Wyoming.
Tobias Harris, I like him to stay in Philly. I like him to stay because if Jimmy Butler does leave, that opens up the door for him to get more reps. So, yeah, I like him to stay there. Let me give you another name.
I like Tobias Harris, though. And I'm one of those dudes who, I'm one of those dudes who do not believe that players should not get the most money that they can. But Tobias Harris want to win a damn championship. Man, you got to take less money, dog. You are not a max player. You are not a cornerstone in a building, dude. You're the roof. You're the last piece to be put on, dude, to win the damn championship. You're the last major piece.
All right.
But you are not the building stone. You're not the corner block.
Right. Well, kind of you can look at it that way, because then it's the process. Then Ben Simmons. than him, or Jimmy Butler than him. If Jimmy Butler,
but if they give him a mask, they don't have. If they give him a mask, they don't have much for anything else.
True. All right, so let's move on.
That's the whole problem. That's the whole problem with this mask crap. Go ahead.
All right, so Kemba Walker.
I want him to stay because I want him to get his money. I want him to get his Supermax. And I also want him to stay so it could challenge Jordan to give him the Supermax. Because I don't believe Jordan would do that. I don't believe I believe Jordan will undercut that man. And I hope when he do it, Kemba Walker get pissed the fuck off.
And you know what's crazy?
And dispose everything.
You know what's crazy? I've actually been reading it up.
What's up?
Kemba says he's Charlotte's his first priority, and that's fine and dandy, but I don't see Jordan offering him that money. So with that coming along, I've been reading, you know, little articles and stuff that the Steve Clifford, the Magic coach that used to coach him, is pushing hard for Kemba. So that will be crazy. No, you laughing. That would be crazy if he leaves Charlotte for Orlando. But I don't see him going to Orlando. I'm not going to say that's where I see him going. I see him staying in Charlotte.
You are the ultimate blind ass fan.
You got to remember, some of these players are
called. For those who don't know, I am a Miami Heat diehard fan, a Laker fan. I'm not gonna say diehard. I'm a Laker fan because all of my favorite players played for the Lakers. But I'm a Miami Heat diehard fan. You are not hearing me talking about the Miami Heat right now and the potential of winning championships or winning free agency, because I know we ain't got shit down there right now and our salary cap is done for. But you always find a way. I don't know. We be talking about the finals. Oh, you know the Magic have a chance to play in game 4 if they. God damn it! Shut up with this Magic shit. Y'all do not have any deserving match players. Y'all had an All Star player because the season was decent. You gotta put one player on the winning team and the All Star, and you damn sure ain't gonna get no damn free agent. You're not gonna get no max free agent.
All right, so let's continue then. D'Angelo Russell.
Thank you. God. He don't matter. He don't matter either.
You got to give me a location.
Shit. Motherfucker, he can play for the damn... What's the team that Bow Wow played for in Light Mike? He can play for them motherfuckers of all I care. That nigga ain't worth it, man.
Well,
I want to talk about players who's going to make an impact in the league, man. D'Angelo Russell's not making no impact. Tobias Harris not making no impact. Sipping on some scissor, not making no impact.
But you know what's crazy? They're saying
what's up?
He doesn't mind going back to LA even after what they did to him. So he might be in a Laker uniform. You never know.
I heard that too. I heard that too. And it makes sense because Magic Nick Young is the one who basically exiled them from the rest of the team. So, yeah, all those people that, you know, put a bad taste in this NBA mouth is gone from the organization. So he wouldn't mind coming back in. I don't think it's a bad move. It's just that he's not a max player yet. He's a B-level, C-level player that deserves that type of money. But you giving him A-plus money, I think it's a dumb move for any organization to do.
You want to know where I think he's going? The Orlando Magic.
Yeah, so let's get into the NBA draft. Of course, the first pick, the first overall pick was Zion Williamson going to the Pelicans. Second, Ja Morant going to the Grizzlies. And third, RJ Barrett going to New York. So with those three, those top three picks, who do you think will have the better individual success in their rookie year and the better team success in their rookie year?
Individually, I believe RJ will have the best individual stats because of the squad he's on. And best team stats, I'll give it to the number one draft pick in Zion because of the team. His roster is filled out, and his position just opened up. So it's like he lost Randle to become his own. So like I kind of thought Randle would have been a good fit for him, so Randle could kind of teach him the game, let him know what's from what. But Randle is actually looking at the Knicks right now. So, it just opened the door for Zion to, I believe he's going to have a rookie-like season in the regards of Blake Griffin without the injury problem, like in the early in his career.
Okay.
Yeah, so I kind of give him that type of season with a more advanced defensive aspect of the game. So, like, I believe he's going to do pretty nicely in the rookie of the year talks, but for the fact that RJ, unless something drastic happens, like, you know, a couple of stars end up in the Knicks jersey, like, yeah, his rookie year is going to be, to me, phenomenal. I believe he's going to average about 18, 19, probably 20 points a game. I won't say he's going to do the 20-5-5 that Luka did the year prior to him, but I see like a 26-3.5, 26-3.5. I see him trending for that kind of stat line because of the squad he's on.
Who, RJ?
Yes, RJ, because of the squad he's on.
All right. I think individual and team success will go to Zion. I'm not going to get too much into the team success because you already touched base on it. They do have a squad already. One thing I will mention, their GM, Griffin, who was a part of the Cleveland Cavaliers before they got rid of him. But, yeah, I believe I like what he said when he said it's not Zion's team, that it's still Drew's team. And that was dope because, like, a 19-year-old shouldn't have the weight of a whole damn city on his back. Not saying that Zion can't. I don't think that he should be coming into the front door being introduced that way, carrying the load. And Drew is still that deal. I mean, I know AD got a lot of attention over there, but Drew is the deal. So I like their squad. I like Ball with him. I love Ball. That's one of my favorite point guards, even though he haven't showed people why he should be a favorite point guard. He's one of my favorite point guards. I like Ball, and I think Ingram could do some things. And Zion is just a matchup problem offensively because, like, you can't put a five on him. Mm-hmm. You cannot put a five on him. He's going to go right by them, dunk all over them. He's going to run around them. And then you cannot put a swing for? You can't put a hybrid for because he's just too big for that.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of a year 7, year 8 LeBron type body without the skill.
Okay.
He's huge, he's fast, he's agile. So I think he's gonna be better individually and team wise. And not to say that John Morant is just out there. I think John Morant is going to have the D Wade career,
mm-hmm.
where he's overshadowed by the other huge names. However, he's going to hold his own. I also think he might get the championship ring before the other two.
Ja?
Simply because of the way he's
getting. Ja Morant?
Yeah, because the way his game is so overall. He have the athleticism like D Wade. He got the shot better than D-Wade. He got the passing skills like LeBron. He got the NBA body. And he's only going to get bigger. Like, as far as, like, width-wise, he's going to get stronger. But as far as height, he already has the NBA size. I think the only thing that he was missing that the other two players didn't have was, like, just the 6'8", 6'7", mm-hmm. size. But John Morant's knows, like, that dude, he's the truth. No lie in him. He's the truth. No cap. Who do you think the steal of the NBA draft was?
I'm going to give the steal to Bobo. Yeah. The Heat did one of the dumbest things I've seen them do since kind of talking LeBron out of staying. Like, I
And see, and this is why I'm not a blind ass fan, because we mentioned my favorite team and talk about its true negativity, and that like the Heat got lucky once in the draft by picking D-Wade. D-Wade fell in their lap. You know, if they had the choice to pick D-Wade, LeBron, or Carmelo, or just D-Wade or Carmelo, they would have picked Carmelo over D-Wade, and that would have been a horrible choice.
Yeah.
And so they got lucky with D-Wade. It's just that he was just the fifth best player according to the draft poll. They're like, okay, we'll just take the fifth best player. But they didn't think, they didn't put no thought into it.
They didn't think he was going to turn out the way he became.
They are horrible drafters.
The second steal, I had two steals, actually. The second steal I had was Kevin Porter Jr. out of USC. Like, I don't understand how you can say a guy that was in the top five of the draft boards beginning of the season is now a 30th pick. Like, he showed in the scouting reports he has talent. He showed in the combine he has nothing to lose. And he showed in a few games I watched him at USC, he had nothing to lose. So for him to drop all the way to the 30th pick, oh man, that chip on his shoulder is gonna. I'm just afraid for the Eastern Conference when this little guy grows up, because you're already comparing him to one of the best scorers in the league right now, in James Harden. And he's only played 9 to 11 games in his collegiate career. Like,
yeah, I mean, I hear you. I mean, I hope the best for the young man. However, like, it was something. Like, the reason why he fell so far back, it was something. It was something there.
Off court,
I guess. But you don't believe that off-court issues should affect a man's draft
status? No, not at all.
All right. So I'm going to bring you one example of why it should. Aaron Hernandez. They tried to hide his so much that he still got picked high and ended up being a freaking murderer.
Yeah, but he still was a beast on the football field.
Yeah, but you lost him. You couldn't have signed him to a second contract. It killed it. You just wasted a pick. I mean, depending on what his off-the-field issues were, you know, like I said, I wish the best for him. I wish he get his head on right. And he's going to move forward from this point on and be a professional. But my steal of the draft is none other than Cam Reddish going to Atlanta Hawks.
He was picked 10th. That was a great pick for them.
I'll say top 15, top 10, but that was a steal, because he don't have to have the ball in his hand. He could actually just be a 3-and-D player with the type of squad they have now.
That's true.
He could be one of the best 3-and-D players in the next 3 years.
I won't get the next three, but yeah, wait, you're not lying though. You're not lying.
I mean, depending on how Klay returns from this knee injury. And that knee injury took off some years on him, so he's not going to be in his beginning prime. He might be in the later prime now after he healed from that knee injury. I like Cam Reddish's game. I really love his game. And Duke, he was in the loop, not knowing where to fit in. You had RJ Barrett, who wanted to be the Kobe of the team, not a true point guard, but like, hey, listen, just give me the ball and I'm gonna score or I'm gonna make a play. Then you had Trey Jones, who wasn't really an offensive point guard, but a killer on defense. A full court defense, man-to-man. I don't care what defense we in. You pick up from the other baseline, and then we'll fall into a 2-3, or we'll fall into a 3-2, or we'll fall into a half-court man. But you pick up full court, because the way that man moved his feet was amazing, his long arms. But, to get back to Cam Reddish, he didn't know where to fit in. On this team, he knows exactly where to fit in. He got a point guard who could take the scoring load as well as create for others effortlessly, just like LeBron James, effortlessly. A true point guard, and Cam Reddish is going to – I believe he'll have a better rookie year than John Morant.
Okay.